Okay. Colossians chapter 3. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Now, when it says we have been raised with Christ, it's speaking of it as in the past tense. And this is an important point. You'll find that the Bible always speaks in faith of what will be, because it is God calling things that are not as though they were. This is how God creates. He calls things that are not as though they were. He told Sarah she would have a child when it was impossible for her to have a child. He said that Mary would produce a child when it was impossible, for she had been with no man, for her to produce a child. God brings life where there can be no life. And he has done the same thing in us, in flesh. He has caused his life, the life of his dear son, to flourish in us where there can be no life by nature, because we were all dead in sin. So the Bible always speaks as if it's a fact of what will be. It speaks of it as a fact now, and that is our faith to agree with that. When the Bible says we are saved, well, we all know, as it says in Romans 8, that the redemption of the body is the adoption as sons. But we proclaim ourselves now as being adopted, because we agree with God, who has called things that are not as though they were in us. We sow to faith of what will be, and call that as our reality now. We don't look in the mirror and just see what is there, because that denies our faith. We don't walk by what we can see. We walk according to what we cannot see. And so there it says in Colossians 1, since you then have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above. Now, according to the Spirit, through faith, what we can't see, we have been raised with Christ. But have you actually been raised with Christ? Do you have your resurrection body yet? No. You speak of it, though, as if you have it, because this is your faith. And the Scripture speaks in this way. So since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. That's where you set your heart. Not on what you see here, but on what will be. What you see through faith. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Don't focus it on what you can see. Focus it on what cannot be seen. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. It's hidden. You can't see it because it's in the realm of faith. It is hidden. These carnal eyes cannot see it. But you know it's there, don't you? Because you know him who promised it. He dwells within you. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, who is, present tense, is your life. This tells us so much volumes in this little verse, who Christ, who is your life. You know, Christ is the righteousness of God. He is righteousness. By being in Christ, only by being in Christ are we considered righteous. Because apart from Christ, we're not. Only by being in Christ are we considered alive, because apart from Christ, we're dead. So Christ is your life. When God looks down, he doesn't see you by yourself. He sees his dear son. So he sees you through his dear son, who is righteous. So Christ is your life. So when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That's the resurrection of the dead. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. Now, notice how it gives you that realm, that place of faith. It assumes you as the reader once lived there and no longer do. And that you are raised with Christ, even though it doesn't appear. Notice the assumption of faith that the Word of God speaks for you. You once were that way, but not any longer. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourself of all such things like these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. Remember, Jesus is the Creator of all things, it tells us. Everything was made by Him, for Him, and through Him. You are being renewed into the very image and knowledge of your Creator, Jesus. So put off your old self, which is being renewed in knowledge, and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. Here there is no Jew or Greek, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Here we see, this is what it means, by the way, that we no longer regard Christ after the flesh. We did once and we do so no longer. We no longer see Him as just a man, but we see Him for who He truly is, the man from heaven. And we no longer regard those who are members of the body of Christ just according to the flesh, do we? We don't see them as a Greek or a Jew. We don't see them as circumcised or uncircumcised. We don't see them as a barbarian or a Scythian or a slave or a free man, but we see them in Christ through the eyes of faith. We don't look at the outside. We look to the inside through faith. We believe the best. It tells us that love hopes all things, believes all things, and endures all things. And to look upon your brothers and sisters with the love of God is to think the best for them. To believe the best for them. And to endure for them. Therefore, as God's chosen people, and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Now notice what it says to clothe yourself with. This is putting on Christ. This is what it means to put on Christ. To clothe yourself. To cover over. To blanket yourself. To be covered with. You need to put on Christ. Clothe yourself with compassion. Jesus is the author of our compassion, isn't He? Kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. All these are virtues of Christ. Put on Christ. Put on Christ. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against your brother. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Now, love is the very nature of God. You know, we're told in Hebrews chapter 1 that Jesus, it tells us in the past God spoke to us in many and various ways, but in the last days He has spoken to us through His Son, Jesus. And that Jesus holds all things together by the word of His power. That's His nature, love. That's what binds everything together. That's what binds everything together. So bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. The power that we're to walk by is love. And it's more than just a feeling. It is the power of God. It is the nature of God within you. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. What does that mean? It's got to be more than just pretty words. To let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Be at peace because you trust God. That's faith. Be at ease. Trust Him. Don't worry. To be at peace is not to be in a tumult. Why do people get into a tumult? Why do people get upset? Why do people get all out of shape? Why do people get all conflicty? They don't have any peace. But I'm telling you that peace directly comes from walking in trust to God. If you trust God that He's got everything in control, then what is there to be in a tumult about? Be at peace. Be at peace. If there's conflict between you and God or you and a brother, resolve it and lay it aside. And the way you resolve it is you enter into that repentance, man. You enter into that communion with God and you be obedient. You love your brother. You forgive him. You take all those sources of conflict out of the way so that you can be at peace and trust. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And since as members of one body, you were all called to peace, be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And this shows you what the heart of teaching is. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It's got to be more than just printing and paper. It's got to be in your heart. You know, when it says that the Holy Spirit is given to us to lead us and to guide us into all truth, where does He draw that truth from? He draws it from the word that is stored up in your heart. For Him to bring something to remembrance to your heart, it has to be in there. It has to be in there. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Dwell. Live. Make it a part of you. Don't just leave it in the printing and the ink. Make it a part of you. Because when you read it and you study it, the Holy Spirit will make it living water inside you. Study it prayerfully. So let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. Be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. See, that's how teaching is really by the Spirit. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitudes in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything. And do it not only when their eye is on you to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart in reverence for the Lord. This is why we should all look at ourselves as servants of God. Because even if our earthly masters are not watching, or our earthly parents are not watching, or our earthly bosses are not watching, God is watching, isn't He? So whatever you do, you should do as unto the Lord. And in the process, you will please anybody else, won't you? In the process, you will, if you are a good servant to God, in the process, you will be an even better servant to anybody else. You'll have done more than they ever asked or thought about as a servant, as an employee, as a son, as a slave. If your aim is to please God, and you do everything as if to please God, who you know is watching, then those who are not watching will be pleased with all you do, won't they? Do it with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. And since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And this is something that we need to start doing as a body, to make God first in everything we do. Acknowledge Him. Give Him the pulpit. Come together before Him and seek His counsel. Come together before Him and seek His face. Come together before Him that He can speak and give him the time and give him the place to speak in our lives, both individually and corporately. This is something we should do as often as we gather. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Praise God. You know, and our dependency is upon the Lord to bring those answers, aren't they? Not just out of our own minds. This is why we should study to show ourselves approved, so that the Holy Spirit has something to draw on for us to be instant in season and out of season with an answer for our faith. But this is a good place to stop. There's some general things in here that are very good for us to heed. Colossians here, chapter 3. Some general things. If we've been truly raised with Christ in our hearts, we're going to walk in faith. We're going to clothe ourselves with Christ, which means all of his virtues. We're going to forgive as the Lord forgave us. We're going to be able to operate with real gratitude in our hearts because we're walking according to the Spirit and not some rule. And everybody, if you notice, whether it be wives, fathers, children, husbands, slaves, everybody has a place in the household. Everybody, remember, every one of us are one of these things, or more than one of these things. And we all have a place in the body. And the body cannot do without one of them. Love one another from the heart. Because you need each other. You need each other. These instructions are not just rules. They're based on the fact that we do need each other as members of the body. And that if all the members of the body are operating in their proper position, then the whole body is well. That's the importance. Not just rules for individuals, but remember, it takes a lot of individuals to make a body. And we need every one of them. That's why it says to start regarding each other as servants of the Lord, and not let these petty squabbles get in between you as brothers. Don't regard each other as just flesh and blood people. Don't just regard people how you see them. See them as God sees them. They're members of the body. And you can't do without them. Don't regard them after the flesh, as we no longer regard Jesus after the flesh. We see him as a gift from heaven. And you should see your brothers and sisters in the same way. And let us remember, any of us that's given a gift is given on behalf of the body. Not just for you to revel in the gift, but for you to lay your life down in the expense of the body, as Jesus did. Amen? God doesn't just want a few anointed individuals. He wants the whole body to get there. That's a good place to stop. Please, any questions or comments, feel free.